Good morning, good morning, good morning. Somebody say good morning. So good to see you here. As you are somehow working your way through all the traffic jams in the aisles to head back to your seats, I want to invite Mr. Joshua Braden up to the platform. Would you welcome this young man as he comes? Oh, my goodness. Grab that microphone, brother. You know, these guys, as you just heard, got back from youth camp. And, you know, youth camp was always just a life-changing thing for me. Somebody not growing up in church to see, you know, what God did in my life at youth camps. And I got called to be in ministry at a youth camp. God called me to be in ministry at a youth camp. God does a lot of great things in teenagers' lives when they carve a whole week away just to dive in. And these guys were over at Windermere Campground in the Ozarks down there. And this is one of our students that got to go. And back when I was in church, though, the church would have like what they called testimony time, when students would go on a trip or anybody would go away, they'd come back and let us know what God did in their life. And man, I've heard God did incredible things in all the students' life. But man, why don't you give us a little window into what God did in your life, Josh?
Well, can you hear me? Can you guys hear me? Thank you. I never really invest too much time into anything, like show others anything, unless I know that I'm like good at it. Like I didn't, no one knew I was a drummer until I knew that I was good at it. People literally just found out the other day that I play guitar, and I don't even think I'm good at that. But I never really, like, I've always loved worshiping and love listening to messages. But when people bring up the subject of giving your life to God, I'm always like, well, I want to. But I never really, I was always afraid to. And I always had these thoughts and like these doubts that went through my head. And I realized at camp that with Nabil Qureshi, I think was his last name, that there are people who have the same thoughts as me. And through worship and the speaker and realizing that there are so many false things that I worship along with everybody else that I should just put it all in God's hands. And I figured that out, and it's like light bulb popped out of my head. I was like, yes! I realized that. I was so excited, too, because I was like, I get to do it now. I'm okay. Like, I can finally do this and know that it's going to be legit.
Wow.
Too legit to quit. You guys got it. You guys got it. Okay. That was a long shot. I didn't know if you guys were going to. But, yeah. Stop it. But anyways, I noticed one thing that really made me give it all up was seeing Jared McCain sitting next to Tori Williamson right there in front of Zane. I want to say your name.
Stand up, Jared. Yeah.
He is awesome. Give him a hug after service. He is great. He realized when he showed up, I looked at him and I was like, you're okay. And by the end of it, we were hugging each other and I was like, I love you, man. And it was just intense. And he showed me that God can move in anyone's life. And he
gave his life to God that week, yes. this past week. That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
He showed me that God can move in anyone's life. So that I need to suck it up and quit being so afraid and give it all away to him. Wow. And that's what I did. And, well, I've been walking around just, like, hovering in happiness. Like, I've been walking around my house like this, like, everyone. But, yeah, that's what happened. So, relieve.
Isn't it cool hearing that? What in the world? We're so proud of you, man. And all you guys, all that God did in your guys' lives, we're so proud of you guys. That's so cool. Look out, world. What is Josh Braden going to do? Amen. I love that. Hey, we are inside of the Invisible War series, week 16, longest series on record. And we've been tackling spiritual warfare and learning how to overcome the enemy in our heads, our hearts, and our homes. We spent 13 weeks on the head. I mean, we got some messed up heads. and learning how to overcome the enemy in our mind. And this is week three on the heart. We're actually closing out our series on the heart. And then we're going to start next week on the home as we wrap this series up by the end of this summer. I'm telling you, I can't wait to dig into the home as well. There's going to be a lot of humor inside of that. But as we learn practically how to overcome the enemy in our homes, it's going to be great. If you're single, you're married, divorced, whatever your situation is, I'm telling you, it's going to be relevant right to where you're at. It's going to be fantastic. But as we close out the heart, you know, we've been talking about the heart and what the heart actually is. The Bible describes the heart in three areas. Number one, our emotions make up our heart. Our willpower makes up our heart, and our desires makes up our heart. We talked about the emotions and we talked about the willpower. Today, we're going to talk about desires inside of our heart. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 37. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. If you're following along with us on the app, we got the scriptures provided for you right there. If not, we got it for you here on the screen. We've got you covered. Psalm 37, verse 1 says this: "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, the truth and the power behind your word. And as we pray weekly, God, right here in this moment before this talk, I pray that the power and truth behind your word would come to life in our lives as we hear it, go from this place, and strive to live it out. God, guide my mind, my thoughts, as I simply strive to be an echo of what you're saying to us, your people, here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many have ever heard that verse before? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's a very popular verse. I've heard it several times from church platforms. I've heard it several times in discussions with other people of faith. I've read it several times. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Man, that's a really cool scripture. There's actually a lot of discussion, a lot of debate that surrounds that scripture, because people kind of say it means one thing and another group of people say it means something else. There's actually a group of people, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of theologians that say what it means is he will give you what your heart desires. You delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you what your heart desires. And if you look at that right there, the last two lines of that verse there on the screen, and he will give you the desires that, you know, he'll give you what your heart desires. If you look at it, it's kind of what you can see. It could mean that, you know, he's giving you what your heart desires. I mean, it's completely understandable. If you read that, you've got desires in your heart and he's going to meet those desires inside of your heart. There's another group of people, you know, theologians, that would say that it doesn't mean that at all. It actually means that he is going to actually give you the desire. He's going to place the desire inside of your heart. And, you know, here we are at this point now. We see those two different roads we could go down. What do we believe here at Journey Church about this particular scripture? And, you know, I studied this thing pretty in depth this past week. I studied it inside and out, around, above. I looked at it every possible way that scripture could give us, looking at the historical context of it. I did a hermeneutical study on it, you know, and I think it's actually not an either or when it comes to the meaning of that. I think it's more of a both and. I don't think that it's one or the other. I think it's actually both, because I have ensured here, I've been following Christ now nearly 21 years, and that's not a super long time compared to a lot of people I know been serving Christ their whole life. But, you know, I've ensured over the past, you know, over 20 years now that I have been following Christ biblically. I have gone through each step of faith that I have taken toward him. I've ensured that it's a biblical step. I've biblically followed Christ. That's not to say I've not had any failures or mess ups in my life. I'm human, as all of us are, but I've ensured that I've been following Christ biblically. And, you know, I've come to find that there have been desires in my heart that were there long before I even met Christ, that since I met Christ, he has met. those desires. He has made those desires actually happen. He's given me what my heart has desired. And also, since I've met him, there were desires that I didn't have before that since I've met him that I do have in my heart now. Since I've met him. I think many of you can kind of agree. Really, both interpretations I've seen come to life in my life since I've come to know Christ. And, you know, really, no matter which one it is, they're both equally amazing to experience. I mean, to have a desire in your heart and to have Christ meet that desire and give you what your heart desires, and at the same time, for Christ to place a desire in your heart is a really amazing thing. Both, to me, are evidence of the powerful blessing of God at work in our hearts. I mean, isn't that what that is? I mean, it's the powerful blessing of God. We all want that. How many want that? How many want this scripture to be continually lived out and experienced in the steps of faith that we continue to take as God's people? And in order to, according to this scripture, in order to experience the powerful blessings that we see here at the end of this verse, in order to do that, we, you and I, must ensure that in order to receive verse 4 results, we must be taking verse 4 efforts. Because verse 4 is a two-parter. Verse 4 starts out, can you highlight that word delight? That's the beginning of verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is a two-part verse right here, meaning it's a cause and it's an effect. There's a cause part of the verse and there's an effect part of the verse. The cause being delight yourself in the Lord. If you do that, that cause will bring about an effect in your life, and the effect being he will give you what your heart desires and he will place desires into your hearts. Either one, I want them. But to get that, we got to be doing the first part of that verse, meaning we must delight ourselves in the Lord. Look at your neighbor right now and say, are you delighting in the Lord? The question is, what does delight mean? Because I'm dead serious, man. I want verse 4 results in my life. So I want to know that I'm living out the cause so that I can experience the effect. What does delight mean? The Hebrew definition, the Old Testament of the Bible was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. So the Hebrew language in which the Old Testament was written, you know, we see this word delight here. The Hebrew word for delight is spelled A-N-A-G, anag. Which means this, watch this, meaning to make habit of, to constantly be around. Now, I don't know if that's coincidence, but that is totally what I think of when I think of a nag. Something that is always around, something that enjoys being around all of the time. So the raw definition of delight in this verse simply means stick around. To stick around. I want to focus on that definition right there. Because I think you would agree with what I'm about to say here. I really don't see this happening in American church culture. You know, it's like you just don't see that happening much anymore. You don't see that stick around because people give up like so easily today, right? I see people give up on God so easily today. People give up on church like so easily today. You know, the average amount of time a churchgoer in America spends time in one church? 10 months. 10 months is the commitment time a church member gives a church. Like, I think we give up so easily. I think we give up on our faith. I see people, especially in American church culture, right, like give up on their faith so easily. Like the commitment really never carried that much value to them. So it's really just easy to discard it. And, you know, I see that a lot. But I also don't think that this is just a 21st century America problem. Because if you look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 37, that's kind of what David is saying is happening in his day. So I think this has really been a problem of humanity since the beginning. Do you have the first parts of that verse, Renee? If you could put up the first part of that verse, if you can, right there. Fret not yourself. This is kind of what David's given us a window into what people are doing there. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. What David is telling us here in this verse is not to be like or focus on people that do evil or make wrong decisions and choices all the time. Because as the illustration that he uses in the second half of that part right there, he says their lives are so temporary. Their commitments are so temporary. They don't stick it out. They're here one day and gone tomorrow, right? I mean, isn't that kind of what you see here? Like everything that they do is feeble. They don't really last. They make these quick commitments and then give them up right away. They're like I said, he's here one day, they're gone tomorrow. Isn't that what it's basically saying? And David is saying that as God's people, can't live like that because God has something way too big and way too grand for our lives. Man, that it would be straight up stupid to pass it up. And here's how you get to it. At the beginning of verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell. Now, do you see that word dwell there? I got an arrow right by it. He's given you the key, the ingredient to arriving to the end of verse 4. It's found right here in this word. Don't be like the people that make little simple, feeble commitments and just give up so easily. Dwell. Now, the Hebrew word for dwell is shakan. I didn't say shakakan. I said shakan. Shakan literally means in the Hebrew, stay put. Meaning to settle into permanently. To stay consistent with, to remain, to keep your commitment. And it says, dwell in the land. In other words, dwell in the place that I have put you. Where I have put you, stay put. Befriending faithfulness. And he's saying all of that right there so we can understand the meaning of the word that he's getting ready to drop us that we see at the beginning of verse 4. If you want to get to it, you understand that, then delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. To delight means to stay around Jesus, y'all. And can I be quick, real quick, to communicate to you what that practically means, staying around Jesus? Because I think sometimes we just say these terms and we don't necessarily understand the practical specifics behind the term. What does it mean to stay around Jesus? Because that's what delight means, right? To stick around. Stay around the Lord. Stay around. Stick around Jesus. And I want to share with you what that means real quick. Because I want us to understand what the path looks like that ends with verse 4 results for your life and mine. Number one. Let me use this visual. We do things expensive here at this church. Visual number one. What does it mean to stick around Jesus? Prayer. Prayer. We, you and I, must ensure that prayer is a part, nay, a regular part, installed into the habits of our lives and our days. We need to be praying regularly. Why? Because prayer is an avenue for connection. Prayer is an avenue to connect two different entities. It's a conversation. See, if you come from a church background where it was really religious and it was rules and it was this, your perception of a God was he's this distant, far off, angry creator that you've got to strive to be holy to try and please. I'm telling you something. Then prayer to you probably isn't much more than just moaning and uttering religious utterances in hopes to please a distant God. That's not what the word pray means at all. We actually get the word prayer from the Latin, which literally means talk. Talk. And talk in the biblical prayer context means conversation. Meaning conversation is necessary to create connection, to be with. If we want to be with God, we've got to talk with God. For us to assume that we can have a relationship with God and not talk to God is completely false. You can't have a relationship with God and not talk to God. That's saying my wife and I, who will celebrate 18 years of marriage this year, say right now in this moment, from this moment on, for the next 15 years, we stop uttering a word to each other. We do not say a word to each other. For me to assume 15 years down the road that we still have a relationship, how many know? I'm living a lie, friends. You can't have a relationship without communication. Communication brings you together. Communication connects you. You can be with somebody even when you're not with somebody. How many know? I, the Williamson family over here, Peggy, your husband's a truck driver. I'm certain that even though he's not presently with you, he calls. And that conversation allows you to be with him. It's a connection point. Talking is important. We must ensure that we are talking to our God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus says, when you pray, walk into the room, shut the door, and pray. In other words, talk to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret right there in that moment will reward you. That's important, friends. That's what it means to stay around Jesus. That's what it means to stick around Jesus. Number two. Let's just get another visual. Thank you. Is anybody sitting here? All right. They come back. What? Too late. You shouldn't have left. Yeah. Number two. Committing yourself to His Word. Meaning, regularly reading your Bible. Because that's what this is. His Word. Bible in the Latin means Biblia, which means book. Just means book. Bible means book. But it's more than a book. It's what is inside of the book. The words in this book have been proven to be the authentic Word of God to our lives through the revelation of some of the very most incredible men and women of God that have ever walked the dusty clay of this earth. And it together puts this incredible picture, this portrait of a loving God who came to rescue humanity and wants to equip humanity with everything needed for humanity to succeed and go to the purpose in which humanity was created for. We have to connect to His Word. Why? Because scriptures like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I love this verse. It says, all scripture. Everybody say all scripture. All scripture. It says, watch this. Is God breathed. Meaning He said it. It may have been a man that wrote it, but it's saying it was breathed into the heart through the pen of the author, from the very breath of God. All scripture is God-breathed. And check this out. And is useful. Everybody say useful. Is useful. This is what it's saying it's useful for. For teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, right? Us. Check this out. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man, I just said a lot right there. This right here exists to, I don't know what the Greek meaning behind thoroughly, but I meant it's like a fine-tooth comb, to thoroughly equip you and I for every good work that He has called us to do. We find that instruction, that training, that equipping, that guiding, that empowerment when you and I commit to this right here every single day. It's important that we install this into our habit. What better time to, what better way to wake up in the morning but with His Word? Man, I found out, man, that the first thing I need to look at, because of the hell that exists outside of our homes and the world around us, the first thing I need to look at, the first thing that needs to catapult me into my day ought to be His Word over anything else. But how many know, man, we got phones and we got all this stuff that tries to take us away. How many know, like some of our days, you hit the ground running, right? But I'm telling you something, if you're one of those people that love to just jump on a Facebook app in the morning, and just check in and see what the world's doing. Nothing wrong with that. But before you hit the little blue F, download a Bible app, YouVersion. Search for it in your Google Play Store, your Apple Store. YouVersion, the Bible app. You can click on the Journey Church app. We've got a Bible reading plan there. Click on the YouVersion Bible app, and every day it puts a scripture of the day in front of you. I have ensured now every day for the last 2.5 years, the first thing I look at is His Word. Now, you say, oh, aren't you holy? Friends, I'm doing it so that I can help myself. Man, I'm telling you, I need His Word, because if I don't launch my day off with His Word, I'm going to launch my day off with something that I'm going to end up doing to screw it all up. I need His Word, friends. And what better way to start your day than with His Word paving the way? Oh, my God, it's corny right there. What better way to end your day than with His Word? What better way to take a break at work and just open up His Word, read something? Even if it's just a scripture or two, just read it and let it train you. Let it take your steps in righteousness, training you, teaching you, rebuking you. Right? Rebuke means challenge, right? Like, how many need that from God's Word sometimes? Sometimes I'll just read it, I'm like, oh, man, I needed to hear that. I need to do this. I need to do what's right. Connect to His Word, friends. Somebody say a good amen. Number three, can I have three people? Three people, real quick. Three people. Three people, real quick. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Come here. Right over here. Right by these steps right here. The third thing we've got to do to ensure that we're staying around Jesus. Because how many know, prayer, we're staying around Him. His Word, we're sticking around His Word. We have a relationship with His voice right there. That's staying with Him. That's staying around Him. The third thing we got to do is a word called church. C-H-U-R-C-H. Church. Some of you right now are like, whoo, living that one out right now. Check. Right. It's a good thing. Be encouraged. That's what you're doing right now. When you're in church, you're with Him. Why? Check this out. Matthew 18:20 says where one, two, or three. Check this out. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. In other words, for His cause, for Him to be the focus. It says this, watch this. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, check this out. It says, Jesus says, there I am in the midst of you. What? Just by us coming together, circling together in His name, it says that He shows up. We're right there with him. Friends, and I have seen this at work in my life. Because when I try and do this thing alone, some people say, oh, I don't need church. I don't need religious organizations or institutions to move me forward, to get me to heaven. I'll tell you this. They say, what do you say to that? I'll say, man, it's a lot easier to get from one island to the other by boat than swimming by yourself. Because there's sharks in those waters. And I'd much rather be getting there going, than just running, hearing the Jaws music behind me. There's times where we want to do it alone, though, and we think we've got it on our own. And, man, you just start to experience. I mean, no, there's a world out there, man, that is just ready to defeat you, that is ready to discourage you, that is ready to dump their drama on you and pull you away. But God says that it is important to get a community of faith around, because, I mean, no, we're out there, man. We get discouraged. And there's times where I gather around my brothers and sisters in the faith, and their faith encourages my faith. Somehow just getting with people makes me see God, makes me see that I'm not alone. He is here. He is pushing me through. I don't have to listen to the lies that the enemy gives me. I will make it, and I find that through his voice in the community of faith that he provides around me. We're two or three, so you don't even need a lot of people. Sometimes you just need to get a couple people to pray you through something. You see him. You're with him. He's endorsing community around your life. Can you guys sit right there? How many got coworkers right now that are praying right now, this very minute, on their knees, saying, oh God, help me to be the greatest source of encouragement for my coworker when I see him tomorrow? None of you. We don't got it, do we? How many right now, your bosses are just saying, I can't wait for Monday so that I can just love on my employees? Huh? How many got customers right now, they just can't wait to see you and smile? There's a world out there, friends, that will show you why you won't make it. There's a world out there that will show you why you should give up. There's a world out there. But there's a church here that will show you you can. Number three. Prayer, his word, church. Have somebody else come up here. Can you give me $20? Stand up here. Somebody's like, dang it, I should have raised my hand. What's your name? Sarah. You went to youth camp, didn't you? Yeah. Awesome. God changed your life? That's so cool. You know, God has called us to serve one another. The word serve, literally, the raw definition means to meet the needs of someone else. So if somebody's going through need, it may be financial, right? And somebody may need this. Now, if you need this, God bless you. If you don't, then go give it to somebody that does need it at some point in your week. But to say, I'm not out here showcasing me giving money. It's $20. That'll buy you 2.5 gallons of gas today. It's not a lot. But what I'm saying is, if you need this, right, then God bless you. I want to meet your needs, or to equip you to meet somebody else's needs. But the word serving means to meet someone's needs. It's important that we understand that we find Jesus in our service to the needs of others. Philippians, stay right there if you would. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this, consider others, everybody say others, better than yourselves. Consider others better than yourselves. Meaning I am to walk this life and I am to consider you better than me. Which that description of that scripture is a totality description. Meaning not just others, but everything about them. Meaning I am to consider the needs of others more important than the needs of my own. So if I have something and I need it, I am to consider her needs above my own and meet that need and trust God for mine. I find him in my service. If you can sit right over there on the edge of that stage. Thank you so much. We find God in the service. How do we know this? Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. I encourage you, if you get some time tonight or this week, to read Matthew 25, particularly the end part of that chapter. Because in it, God's saying, if you help me, or when you help people, should I say, when you meet the needs of other people, check this out, you're meeting my needs, God says. What? The disciples were blown away because Jesus rocks Matthew 25 by saying, God bless you. He goes, for I was in prison and you visited me. For I was sick and you came to me. For I was naked. I didn't have a dime to my name or clothes to call my own. And you came to me and clothed me. And the disciples are saying, what are you talking about? I would remember you naked. When did I see that? And when did I give you clothes? I don't remember doing that. And Jesus says, and I would have remembered if you were sick. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the one that heals all diseases. I would have noticed so much as an achoo from you. When were you sick? And I came to you. When were you in prison, man? You're perfect. I think I would have remembered you being arrested and thrown in prison. And me coming to visit you. And Jesus said this, as much as you've done it to the least of these, to those that are in need, you've done it unto me. Jesus cares so much about the needs of other people. Watch what I'm about to say right now. Jesus cares so much about the needs of other people that he chooses to wrap his own identity up in the people that are in need. You want to know where he is? He's with the people in need. He ain't up in the church services with all the healthy and the wealthy. He's with the people that are in need. And when we go to them and serve them, we find him there. I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. It's true. When I got asked to preach at the women's prison, they unloaded the entire population of Vandalia for me to preach to. And I had never preached to a prison before. I was nervous, friends. Because, you know, you're rolling up there. You don't know what's going to go on. When you're somebody that looks as good as me and you're walking into a women's prison, I don't want to be whistled at and just, you know, scoffed comments made about me and my body. You know, I don't want that. I'm a person. I'm not just a piece of meat to be enjoyed by people's eyes. Ugh. And when I walked on that property, when I walked on that property, man, like, let me be real. This isn't to make a point. This isn't to exaggerate, all right? This is real. I was walking to the gym where I was going to go preach, and I whispered to God, I feel you here. Like, I was trembling. Like, I felt the presence of God. I felt God more on that prison ground than I felt him in the majority of church services I've ever been a part of in nearly 21 years. That's where he is. I was with him by serving the needs of other people. When you serve people, you are with him. You know what I've learned in 20 years, nearly 21 years now following Christ, is the longer you stay around Jesus, 1, 2, 3, 4 ways to do it. The longer I stay around Jesus, the more significant just staying around Jesus becomes. This right here is what being with Jesus is, right here. You want a practical definition? This is what it is. Because I am so sick and tired of just spiritualized terms not being explained in the body of Christ. I hated it when people told me, you want to serve God? Be around Jesus. Okay, what the heck does that mean? Where is he? Right? He's in heaven. Well, I'm here. What am I supposed to, I mean, I wish I could just open the doors and be like, there he is. And dun, 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 Jesus just walks down the aisle. Here he is. The key to doing is just be around him. He walks out the door, we all just go with him. You know, that's it. I'd love to do that, but that's not possible, right? What does it mean to be around Jesus? This right here is what it practically means to be around Jesus. This right here is what it practically means to delight just to be with him. Isn't that really what the disciples essentially did? I mean, isn't that really about all you can credit them with? Like, how did you get to be where you are? I was just with them. Really? That's all you did? Just followed them. Swear. It was awesome. You know? I was just with them. I mean, for the most part, what were they doing other than just hanging out with them? When Jesus was feeding the 5,000, where were the disciples? Just right there with them. When Jesus was sleeping in the boat and the waves of the lake and the storms and the winds were blowing on, they thought it was about to tip over and they're freaking out. And Jesus woke up and calmed the storm. Where were the disciples? Scripture says that they were in the boat with him. They were just with him. They didn't do anything special, didn't have to perform anything crazy. They were just with him. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, anguish about what he was about to do, they were with him. They were sleeping, but they were with him. Sometimes our with him isn't necessarily the best way, but they were with him. Delight yourself. Stay around Jesus. When you stay around him, the more you get to know him. The more you get to know his ways, his desires, his words. And the more I stay around him, the more my heart experiences transformation. I can't explain to you how it happens. I cannot stand on this platform and give you the psychological specifics of how it happens. I assume we would just have to lean to relational influence as to how that happens, how that transformation stays in my heart. You know what I'm saying when I say that? When you hang around somebody, you get influenced by that somebody. And the more that I get influenced by, the more I hang around him, the more I get influenced by him, and the more my heart experiences the transformation that I heard preached about so much, never experienced for myself until I started pursuing the avenues to be with him. What hanging around Jesus did for the desires of my heart changed my life. Thank you guys so much. Going back to the beginning of this talk real quick. What hanging around Jesus did for the desires of my heart, right? He changed some of the desires that were there. He honored some of the desires that were there. And he unlocked some desires that I didn't even know were in there. I mean, you can say that's the truth in your life. Like, he changed some of them. I'm not the same person that I used to be since I met him. He changed some desires that were there. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't think like I used to think. I'm not the dad that I used to be, for crying out loud, man. I was a selfish little kid when I had my son, my first son. I'm like, what the heck am I supposed to do with this? As a human being is now resting in my arms. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm a lazy kid. And I prayed and relied on God. I want to be a right dad. I want to be a godly dad for my boy. And I started praying, reading scripture on parenting. Going to church and talking about people, about parenting, resourcing myself with people. Like, what do you do for your kids? I mean, how do I do this? Steve Lummer, if you're watching this, you have helped me become such a dad to my boys. Thank you, sir. Serving other people. Serving families that aren't privileged to have a father in the home. It's helped me see what I need to truly appreciate God has given me. He changed desires in my heart. I'm not the same husband I used to be. Believe it or not, I used to be difficult to be around.
We were so young when we got married. I was selfish. It was all about me. I was not a chauvinist or anything like that. I wasn't like, woman has to do everything. But I was just selfish. I was like, you do it. I'm not going to do it. I was a butt, man. I apologize to use that word, but that's what I was. I was, man. But God changed my heart. He changed the desires in my heart. He changed my desire of being selfish. Because how many know selfishness is a desire? He changed the desire to be selfish to be selfless. How do you do that? How do you want from one season in your life to just want to do everything for yourself to want to start doing things for other people? How do you do that? That doesn't even make sense. He changed the desires of my heart. How many know what I'm talking about? I encourage you, if you get some time this week, to read Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is one of the most powerful chapters in Scripture because it outlines the desires of the sinful nature, like sexual morality, man, and all the things that follow into that, and lust and anger and malice and debauchery, all this stuff, all these desires that we end up feeding our own flesh, you know, to do these desires to just go the wrong way. And then it outlines like the ways of the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit. And it's really amazing chapter because it shows you just the desire battles that we face in life. And the change that God wants to take each desire in our life and turn them into. Powerful stuff. He honored some of my desires. Like there were desires that I had, like I said, before I even met Christ that were meant to be there. You know, when Jesus comes into your heart, it's not like he changes all of your desires. Not all of your desires are bad. He didn't walk in my house or the home of my heart and go, ew, everything must go. And just started sweeping them all out of here. You know, get this out. There was some stuff that I was made to have. And he honored those desires. I've met people, man, that have always had a dream and a desire in their heart to own a business. And I've met people, even in this church, that tried to do that business, tried to make that business happen on their own. And they couldn't do it, but it was a dream. It was a desire in their heart to do so. And when they met Christ, it's like when they met Christ, the light of Christ shone on that desire, illuminated that desire. And God supernaturally met that desire. He didn't take it away. He met it. And made it happen. And I watch people say, man, thank you, God. He truly does give you what your heart desires. He does, though. When I pursue my delight in him. Isn't that cool? And lastly, he unlocked ones that I didn't even know were in there. I never wanted to be a pastor. I never had a desire to be a pastor. Did we? We never wanted to pastor, ever. I knew I wanted to be in ministry. And I thought I was going to be an evangelist, like a Michael Rowan type guy. I thought I was just going to go from church to church and just preach messages, you know, and just help revive the church. I didn't think I was going to be a pastor at all. I had no desire to, because pastors got to be patient. And I was not patient. I wasn't. But how many know, the more you pursue these things, the work he does in your heart isn't what you think all the time. Like, he'll unlock desires. And I just started to have this beating desire to be a church planner. A church planner. I had a desire to go quit my job and literally just put a shovel in the ground here in this community and start something from nothing. I had a desire to do that. I would have never done it if I didn't have a desire, right? Like, there was a desire to do that. The Dream Center, which we are right now making more progress toward our Dream Center than we ever have. I never had a desire to do a Dream Center. I didn't even know what a Dream Center was. And I know the Dream Center, when we are able to launch this Dream Center here, like many of you are so ready to do it with us, but you never had a desire to do it before, but now you do. And look at what God does. He unlocks desires in your heart when we pursue the avenues he allows us to pursue him with. You see, there's a huge work that God wants to do in the context of the desires of your heart. The question is, will you let him? Because God has placed around you every avenue for you and I to develop our delight in him. This, one, two, the three that were right here, and our precious little sister that was right over here, are just symbolic of very real avenues. These four things are the route to your dreams. That's it. The dream that God has put in your heart will happen through these routes. Right here. It's not a mystery. The path to your dreams are not hidden from you. I know people have just said, God, where's my dream at? It's like you're hiding it from me. He's not hiding it from you. It's right. This is how you get there. It just doesn't come sitting in your lap. You've got to pursue these four avenues. You've got to delight yourself in him to get your dreams to happen, to get the desires of your heart met and unlocked. As a pastor, please know I care so much that I don't want your dreams to fall flat. For crying out loud, I moved my fat body up a mountain for your dreams. Do you have that picture? Dude, I climbed that for you. That! Not where the trees end, that big black thing that's way above the trees. Got to the top of that for you. With your dreams stuffed in a backpack. And at the top of that mountain, rest your dreams. Right there under those rocks that are by that old tree. Your dreams are still there for those of you that were here when we got to write those down. And you have a God that wants to take you there. And wants to meet the desires that are written on those pieces of paper. But you have an enemy too. And you have an enemy that hates your dream, friend. And knows as well the path that leads to them. One, two, three, four. He knows that these are the paths to lead to those dreams. So with great effort, he strives to take you and I off of these paths. That's why I'm telling you, man, read Galatians 5. Don't let the enemy use those desires to destroy you. Let God use your desires to bring you to your destiny. Someone once asked me, and I'm closing, how do I stop desiring to sin? And that was such a good question. Man, I didn't want to answer it right away because it's not one of those, well, here's why. I didn't know. You know, it's like, man, that's a good one. I want to think on that. By the way, if Christians, if somebody asks you something you don't know, just say, I don't know. Let's find out together. You know, don't feel compelled to have to give an answer to everything where you end up faking stuff. Like, I couldn't answer it. I was like, man, I don't know. But, you know, as I studied that, you know, I've learned that psychologists will tell you, check this out, that desires can be fed and desires can be starved. And what you feed will grow, and what you starve will die. It's a essential truth to life. So don't feed the desires that the enemy wants to connect you in with. You have our little red car friend here. Do you remember this guy right here? You ever had that happen to you? Somebody cut you off on the highway, and the guy throws out the beautiful finger of fellowship right out the window and then peels off? Have you ever had that happen? Anybody? Like, it's when that happens, you know, in that moment, you're not like, oh, isn't that cute? Look what he did. Almost caused, you know, just irreparable damage to my car and my life and safety. And just decided to, bling, you know, just throw that right out the window and peels off. Bless that guy. Oh, just bless his little heart. You just turn up Joy FM and just worship even louder, you know. You don't want to do that, do you? No, you want to change the station to KSHE, right? Enter Sandman just comes on and you just want to take the pedal and just follow him. Even if it's 100 miles, you're just right there behind him. Right? And when he gets out of the car, you just want to beat the life out of his face. Like, I have pictured how to punch people in the face before. I'm like, I don't even want to punch them right in the front. I want to punch them from the side with a hook. That way it just goes right into their... Anyway, that's what I was thinking. I just think about that. That's what I desire to do. I desire to hurt their face. I want to do that, right? And I've got all kinds of thoughts illustrating that. Let's not praise that thought, all right? Yeah, you know. But I've got a lot of thoughts that illustrate that. And that's why we were talking about in that brain portion, the head portion of the message. You know, thoughts only last psychologically 2 to 8 minutes. Desires will last about 2 to 8 minutes in those moments. So stop. Don't feed it in that time. Starve it. If you starve it, it'll die. If you feed it, it'll grow. And it'll grow like a snowball rolling down a hill. Don't follow them, right? Stay where you're supposed to go. Feed the desires of God that are going to take you to your destiny. My question is, and I want to ask Brittany if she would to come, or whoever's here to be able to accompany me on the platform to come. My question is, are you on the path toward them? Or are you on the path away from them? Because, and I know I've been very blunt with my history in Ohio, but as my pastor always said in Ohio, Rod Parsley, he said this all the time, and it is such a truthful statement. He said, the proof of desire is in pursuit. He said that all the time, and that is such a truthful statement. Where your feet are headed illustrates what you truly desire. And I'm here to tell you today, friends, let's put our feet on the path. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 paths. That lead to an incredible Psalm 37, verse 4 result inside of our lives. It takes delight. I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come, and our care pastors and our deacons and leaders, if you're here, if you would to come as well. When you take your emotions, when you take your willpower, when you take your desires and you dedicate them toward God, watch out, devil. Watch out, devil. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for each person in this room, God, because each person in this room has a heart. A heart, Lord, filled with emotions, a heart filled with willpower, a heart filled with desire. And God, you want nothing more than to have our hearts in your hands. And God, the enemy, we know, wants nothing more than to have our hearts in his hand. And God, today we choose. Oh God, I pray, Journey Church, if you could echo this with me, you don't got to scream it, you can whisper, you can even think it, but God, today we tell you, we choose to give you our hearts today. Come on, tell them that in your own way, just in your own way. We choose to give you our hearts today. God, by consuming and pursuing the 4 paths that your light exposed to us today, God, by praying and digging into your word and connecting in with the brothers and sisters of Christ that you have surrounded our lives around to be a hedge, and God, to serve others. And God, as we develop our delight in you, you will truly meet the desires of the heart that we are giving you in this room. God, today we honor you by our pursuit of you that illustrates our desire for you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Are you glad you came to church this morning and sweated with me? Amen. Can we stand to our feet today? I want to tell you how appreciative we are to have you in this room here with us. We know you could choose to go anywhere that's a whole lot cooler than it is in here. It means so much to us that you're a part of our church family here. And we could think of no better way than just to extend an invitation for you to not only receive communion, where you see Sarah and Peggy here with the communion elements here and Steve and Sandy with communion elements here, just to receive a time of communion. But if you need prayer, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 leaders in this church that would love an opportunity to pray with you. Maybe you're in a place right now where you could use some prayer. You could use some church community around your faith. I've often said this, and I'll continue to say it. I've often found healing. I have found guidance. I found direction. I found encouragement and joy in the prayers of other people. So let us experience that moment with you. Man, but if not, we would love to invite you from the back to the front, if possible. Ushers will dismiss you down to receive communion, and you can exit out these side aisles. And if you're here alone, that's fine. If you're here with your family, that's fine too. However you want to take communion, together or apart. But just thank God for what we have in Him and the four paths that He's paved for us to follow Him, to see the desires of our heart met. Amen. God bless you, Journey Church. We love you so much, and we'll see you right back here this weekend. Amen.